Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Thank you for listening to Overleveraged, where we explore the big macro themes affecting investors, economic imbalances, giant geopolitical trends, tail risks and tremors, and everywhere risks are not being fully priced into markets. Remember, trading carries risk, and all opinions are provided as general market commentary only. Please do your own research. Our risk warning will follow at the end.
This blessed plot, this earth, this realm, this England.
Hello, welcome to Overleveraged, and as frequent guest, co-host almost, I think now, Helen Thomas from Blonde Money is with us again. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, good to be here again.
Well, you may be wondering why we have the England flag up. Against my better judgment, I was dragged into it. This blessed plot, this earth, this realm, this England, is Richard II, I think. Famous quote about the nation, but it's St. George's Day. We're actually filming on St. George's Day, 23rd of April, of course. But we're talking about today's. So this podcast, this episode's going out on May the 2nd, and today is election day, local election day, in England, not in Scotland or Northern Ireland. 2,500 seats up for grabs across 107 local authorities. Described by one, I think, Tory MP as the Somme without the generals.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
They're looking at a pretty bad outcome, I think.
Yeah, they couldn't. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? How do you manage expectations when expectations are so low? It's one of those slightly surreal situations where any little hint of anything positive will be seized upon because, as you say, I mean, I think what I've been looking at in terms of the expectations management is actually about how there's been comments from number 10, less about the local elections specifically, as in the normal councillors that we talk about, but these mayoral elections, which people who are not geeky about politics or don't live in the Midlands.
The Westminster bubble.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
Westminster bubble.
The Westminster bubble. Yeah. If you don't live in the West Midlands, the Tees Valley or the Westminster bubble, you may not be aware that there are 2 mayoral elections up. One in West Midlands, one in Tees Valley.
Andy Street. The famous... He's been distancing
himself from the party, which is interesting in itself, of course. So, yeah, I think of him as quite a famous politician because he was boss of John Lewis for a long time. So, you know, certainly a politician who has done other jobs, a brand that is very English, I suppose.
Yeah.
John Lewis. You couldn't be more quintessential.
It is. And, sort of high street, you know, bellwether type name, sort of classic name on the high street.
I think there's another quote. My quotes aren't as good as you, Neil, but I think it was John Betjeman said something like, once you're inside Peter Jones at Sloane Square, nothing can go wrong in the world.
Yeah.
You know, that's the place you go. You know? We often talk about what happens in the event of the proverbial hitting the fan, or maybe John Lewis is where you camp out.
Yeah, well, they did. I think on the M40 that time there was flooding or ice or something.
Oh,
they all slept
they
in that,
in that
big John
Lewis.
It's a good John Lewis.
It's a good one. The one at High Wycombe, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's a good one, that one.
Anyway, but yes, any case, the... this is it will be a very interesting test, actually, to be fair to number 10, briefing about these two mayoral elections, because they're trying to say, look, if we keep one of them, it's not a disaster, you know. Mm-hmm. And because they're a known person in their own right, mm-hmm. It is possible, of course, that Andy Street could retain the West Midlands mayoral position, yep. which then the spinners would try and jump on as, oh, look, it's still a result for the Conservative Party, even though he has definitely distanced himself from that. I mean, I think he hasn't even mm-hmm. always had the Conservative name on his literature that's gone out on the campaign. But
you wouldn't now, though, would you? I mean, it's a kind of it's become kind of toxic. I mean, even, I think the average age of someone switching, moving from Labour to Tory, has gone from something like 40 to 70.
That's astonishing. Now.
You know, that's it the really point is. At which it started.
I think under Boris, it was 38, 39.
Yeah, and so you know, even in southeast of England, the tracker has gone in favour of Labour. Labour is now above the Tories, and even in the southeast of England, which is obviously the heartland.
So. Yeah, but it's interesting, this point about potential toxicity of the brand, because obviously we've all seen the polls, and it's, you know, low levels on the national question of, in a general election, how would you vote, that mm-hmm. the Conservatives back down to the lows they had on post-Liz Truss. There is a possibility, we are entering shy Tory territory, where some people may not want to even admit to themselves that they might vote that way in a general election. But the scale of
it... I think it's shy Labour.
Oh, do you? Do you think people would be shy Labour?
Or shy Lib Dem, or shy Reform, maybe.
Well, there's a really interesting question here about other parties, and that actually... Green, Lib Dem, Reform may well pick up a lot more votes. They may not pick up more seats.
No. Mm-hmm.
And that might do damage to the Labour Party, actually, as much as it...
I think Reform are Conservatives. Projected... So I've got the electoral calculus website.
Oh, very good, yes.
They project Reform something like 12% of the vote, mm-hmm. no seats. This is in the general election.
Yes.
This is not the local elections that we're talking about. This is the projected general election. Tories on 23%, but only 90 seats. I mean, 90 seats would be that'd be the worst result ever, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting when we talk about translating this into seats, because that's always the tricky part. But the electoral calculus is a useful website to use for this. Mm-hmm. I mean, the MRP polls, which try and go constituency by constituency, are also good for that. So they poll each constituency, and then they try and look at representative factors and aggregate it up and say, well, these kinds of people vote this way, have said they'll vote this way, so what's it going to manifest at? And the thing is, again, this is a really geeky point, but there are a lot of boundaries that are changing in this general election that's coming up. So your local seat may not be the one mm-hmm. it was, because your particular ward is that level that, you know, may have gone into another constituency. There may be a new constituency created somehow.
Where I live, is it going to be a new constituency?
Are you?
Yes.
Very good. Well, but that, of course, then does make some of these seat predictions a bit trickier. But also, let's not forget, 5 years have passed, or will have just about passed. People have moved. There's been a lot of movement around the country. That would normally happen, but it, of course, was accelerated by the pandemic. So there's also a very interesting question of... who is in these particular districts? So, have you seen some, you know, different neighbours pop up? Have you? You're out of London, aren't you?
I am. Yeah.
Well, actually, we both are. So, why are we even saying it? But I'm just saying that that will introduce a factor of uncertainty. I mean, the MRP polling should sort of pick up on that.
Yeah, but no one's talking about. If you mentioned 5 years ago, no one's mentioning Red Wall or Brexit. Mm.
No, it's not
longer on the agenda. I mean, there's no mention of that whatsoever. So, people are just, you know, effectively just sick of, you know, 14 years of Conservative government. And that's what happens.
There is an element of that. There's always that element of governments getting very long in the tooth. Mm-hmm. However, we've obviously had a lot of change at the top. So, you know, arguably they've tried out different policies. I'm interested in this concept. I was talking to someone the other day about change and the change candidate, and people want change. And normally, to me, that would mean, you know, optimism. This is the person who can, yes, we can, Obama-level change person who really is going to bring a difference. Actually, this time around, it's coming from pessimism, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think change simply means somebody competent somebody that means I can get a doctor's appointment, get on the train and there's no strikes, you know, potholes. Yeah. Let's not even talk about the potholes. Potholes will come up a lot in these local elections.
Yeah, and that's...
It's actually a massive issue.
That's the thing about trying to read the local elections against, you know, as a proxy for the general election can be quite tricky because there are so many local issues that dominate.
Yeah.
But by and large, we think Tories are going to do badly.
Yeah.
And what that could mean for...
And as you said, it'll sound like big numbers because you said 2,500 seats, so...
And maybe 500, Tories are thinking maybe they'll lose 500.
Yeah.
Which would be...
It sounds a big number. It could easily be. Oh, sorry, I want to just pick up on those mayoral points of West Midlands and Tees Valley, which is that I think part of the reason Number 10's grabbing them is because they sound Red Wall... And it slightly tries to say, oh, if we retain those, then maybe we can have a chance of keeping it.
And
but
you can set one mayor against 500 seats, and in people's minds, it's very hard to distinguish what that means.
Yes, what does that exactly? What does that actually mean? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And then, of course, there's turnout. I mean, I feel quite confident in predicting, although you've said very, very sensibly, you've lifted the veil and we're not recording this on the day itself, but it will go out on the day itself. Mm-hmm. I feel quite confident to say, I bet it's raining and it's cold because it has been for so long. Yeah. That might affect turnout. I mean, who's going to bother? What's interesting in these local elections is it probably motivates the people that want to give the government a bloody nose. So you may get more turnout from those against you.
But you do also, I guess, more likely to get the... older, more locally,
people activists.
Active in the community
type
people
who know their local councillors, who may have stood themselves or are standing, who are party activists. Well, this brings us, I think, to what we're getting at here, and which is what does it mean more broadly about the election? Because the party activist is key, actually.
In what way?
Well, when you talk about 90 seats, and that is in line with the MRP polling, which has been, there's one that said around 90 seats, one that said 130. I mean, whatever. It's a long way down from it was 350, the Conservatives had. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's an extinction level event, potentially now, this general election.
Yeah.
So that changes the calculation. It's not even, can we defend our seats? It's, can we exist as a party? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because when you go to that level of loss, for a start, you may not even be, you're just about to be the official opposition, but I mean, let's say the Liberal Democrats are on
50. S&P on 28, that's electoral calculus, Labour on 458.
Yeah.
I mean, 97, that would knock 97 into, that would look like a close run thing.
Yeah, exactly. And as much as people might like to say, oh, but there's no enthusiasm for Keir Starmer and it's not like Blair in 97.
Well, there's not.
And there isn't. And actually, what's interesting when you start to look at numbers like that is the opposition comes from within your own party.
Yeah.
That becomes more of an issue because there's going to be Labour MPs who are just so excited they've got this big mandate and this big majority. Hey, why don't we go and do this that we've always wanted to do?
Well, it goes to something I think we discussed in a previous episode, the idea that maybe Rachel Reeves as the Chancellor could be quite
left wing
and very what's the word, radical.
Radical, could absolutely. Could be radical,
and with
change.
A majority of 300 and change, you could afford to be radical.
Could do all sorts, exactly.
So who knows what's going to happen?
By the way, I do think that some of these numbers might, in themselves, as the date nears, actually motivate some people who are a bit on the fence about whether to vote for Labour or not, because I don't think the British public generally like big majorities. I know they'd like strong and stable government, and I know that brilliant phrase from David Cameron has not lasted very well. But I think there is an element of, hang on a minute, it would feel a bit...
And there's always that question mark
uneasy.
Of talking too much and extrapolating too much from before the campaign has started, because the campaign can change a lot.
Oh, I mean, look at what we've had. I mean, we've had... the Theresa May manifesto totally changed the course of that campaign. There's been election campaigns where there's been, unfortunately, terrorist incidents or the Joe Cox murder and things like that. I mean, just terrible things can obviously happen. And the Ed Miliband bacon sandwich moments, there's always funny little moments that can change things.
And, the death of the Conservative Party has been... announced before. William Hague in 97.
Yeah.
It was looking... like bad. It was teetering. But it's always a great survivor.
Exactly.
It's not a dinosaur. It's a apex predator, or maybe not, maybe they're the ones that die out. I don't know.
No, but you're right. It's a great survivor. It's the cockroach. That's okay. We'll give you that one. But that's right. And that's where actually, right where we're recording now, is such a key moment for the party, because it's getting the party activists out. It's getting a message on the doorstep where they'll say, come on, you might think Rishi Sunak's this, that, and the other. I mean, there's all these, mm-hmm. you know, people think potentially he's out of touch or...
No.
No, I know. Billionaires.
Multi-billionaire. Yeah.
or, you know, with his short trousers and yeah. Adidas trainers. I've lost track
yeah, he's
of
never,
what
he's
you're
never,
not supposed to wear.
Never got out of short trousers.
That's what my mother-in-law always says about him. But things like that matter, actually, to people. But you've got to get the party activists motivated to actually get out and do the work. It is a ground campaign still. I know we all think it's lived online, but it's definitely not lived on Twitter. I mean, most people don't really live on there. Really.
Especially not in the last, I think, since the change with Musk. And so as someone in the office said to me, but Twitter's a cesspit. And I said, yes, but it's my kind of cesspit.
God, that's
which just goes to the heart of like the polarisation.
Yeah.
And,
that's true,
People sort of talk to other people.
But this is where I want to bring up that the key thing about these local elections is that if it is as bad as we all expect, then it's extremely hard for Rishi Sunak to actually lead the party into the election.
So
it's very hard for him to keep going, mm-hmm. because then by that point he'll have had these local elections, there'll have been all the by-election defeats, there will have been all the sleazy scandals of MPs who've had to resign to force the by-elections, and despite the national insurance tax cuts, despite inflation coming down, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. he is at his lowest net approval rating ever, and the party's back down at the lows. So, you know, momentum is everything in politics. It's extremely hard to turn that around. And it's getting to the point now where it's out of his hands.
So the logical next step, if it's really that bad, is, you know, Tory party's never been afraid of shooting its generals.
That's it, exactly.
You know, Soviet style when things don't go well. and that's maybe what we're going to look
yes,
at.
Yes, I think that is what investors should really be looking at in the wake of these local election results, is that next week, the week after these election results, could be the moment where Rishi Sunak calls the election or sets the date, probably early July. In about 5 weeks to get to an election campaign, and they want to do it before school holidays.
Right, because you don't want everyone, all the middle class voters, to be off.
Do you? I mean, that's actually an interesting question. Well, part of it is just part of the mechanics of the whole government going off on holiday.
And
then the question is, does he step aside and let someone else lead the campaign? Mm-hmm. Because the problem is, we know that he has internal opposition. Our analysis, what we do at Blonde Money, is we go through every single MP, we give them Rishi ratings, mm-hmm. we do it on a quantitative basis. We've done something called cluster analysis, which one of our amazing analysts came to us with and I didn't know about, but it's a way of clustering MPs with similar characteristics to see how they'll vote. And there is a diehard group of them. Why are you laughing now?
Well, I just think cluster.
It means you think of another expression.
Another expression.
We can't use that on the
Tory
podcast
party right now.
then it'll get marked as explicit, and we can't do that. Yeah. But so in any case, we know that there's on that analysis there's 39 diehard anti-Rishi want to change the leader. Mm-hmm. Our broader Rishi ratings suggest at least 50. We know the numbers. I think it's now 52 that you need to trigger a confidence vote, and think of how damaging the actual no confidence vote would be, even if he were to win it, which is at best 50-50.
With a few months to go before a general election has to be called.
Yes.
It's getting into territory where you can't just shrug it off and say, well, I've survived the vote and I'm going to carry
on. Well, the worst part is you'll know exactly the number of people against you. Mm-hmm. And recently there was a vote on banning the sale of cigarettes to people born after 2009.
Yeah.
It went through, but only with opposition votes. Now, it was a free vote for every Conservative MP, so they didn't whip it, so effectively people could vote as they wished. Mm-hmm. And half of his MPs either abstained or voted against.
Yeah.
Now, some of the abstentions come from people who are, you know, off sick or paired with someone else, etc. But the point being, around half of his own MPs didn't back it. So
Or maybe there's a few Tory MPs who still believe in liberty. Who knows? And not locking people up for their own good.
There's the, what was it? No, to be what was the argument against that? Oh, it's the greatest act of liberty is to keep people healthy or something. I think that was the spin that the health minister tried to put on it. But anyway, the upshot being here that an actual no confidence vote would be extremely damaging to Rishi Sunak, to the party, could make it a lot worse. Obviously, if he loses, which is, we think, likely, then you've got into a further mess of time and you're losing time. And the party itself, the people who care about the party, the so-called men in the grey suits, they do exist, will already have the whiskey and revolver in in Downing Street, ready for Rishi to look at his own options. I mean, he's got to think about his legacy.
Yeah.
You know, what's he going to do next? And does he want to be... It's not just the man who... presided over, got dealt a bad hand and it wasn't a very good election result. He could end up going down in history as the man who killed the Conservative Party.
Yeah. Do you accept the defeat and leave him in charge to take all the blame and then you can find a new leader after the defeat?
Well, so this is the question about the numbers, because you talk about 90 seats or wherever we're up to. Then it depends who they are, who kept their seat. Now,
Lord Cameron. I mean, he's...
Safe. you could have you could have Rishi step aside and put Lord Cameron in as a PM who just is there simply for 5 weeks to run an election campaign. But after the election, who's going to keep their seat? Well, people keep talking about Kemi Badenoch, talking her up because she does actually have a very, very large majority already. So even if that is cut down severely, she's got a better chance than most.
Yeah.
Liz Truss, her seat. Actually has, she has a large majority. Now, here's the funny thing. So Penny Mordaunt has much lower majority, but if you look back at that seat, Portsmouth, that if you look at 97 when Labour won, Labour only won it with 2,000, I think, or 3,000 majority. So it's just a seat that doesn't have a big majority. Yeah, it's just not one of those. It's just a very mixed kind of a seat.
Sure.
So there's a lot to play for here in terms of not quite knowing of the potentially 90 people left, which one of them is the leader, and then are they going to take the party in the direction you want? And that is the tricky part.
The members want Liz Truss.
They do. What about Reform? What if Reform don't win any seats but win 4 million or 5 million votes, and it turns out, you know, they prevented the Tories potentially from winning another 50 or 100 seats, then there'll be the argument, oh, well, we should embrace their platform.
Yeah.
There could even be an argument where there's almost a reverse takeover and Reform envelops what's left of the Conservative Party.
And that pushes the Conservative Party more to the, I guess, to the right.
To the right, exactly. Yeah. Is the party going to survive and what's going to be left of it? And is it going to be strong enough to have its own identity? And that's why you're getting so many internal opponents who back different agendas. They're kind of agitated for change, but they're not yet ready to stick the knife in. But the party, the actual party itself, and those men in the grey suits, will need to have a campaign team, the top team in the cabinet, that is going to get as many seats as possible, basically, or keep as many seats as possible, defend
for the long
position.
Term,
it's got to be a yes.
But I mean, it sounds like it's a more fractured political landscape for a long time to come.
That's
we've been used to, ever since Brexit. It's broken. It was the hand grenade in the room.
Yeah, and it's blown up the electorate into different groups, and then COVID came along, and then people went into libertarianism? They want more freedom for the individual, or do they believe Parliament is supreme and not sort of more authoritarian view? And actually, I should say that's going to be a problem for the Labour Party.
Yeah,
and actually, it's going to persist probably for another decade because these sorts of explosions take a long time to re-coalesce. So this, I find it slightly odd that anyone expects a return to the centre, because the electorate isn't in the centre.
No.
It's all over the place. And it's going to have to experiment with what either, you know, what either extreme is saying before kind of re-coalescing around what the future of the country should be. And that doesn't happen overnight. By the way, it's not just happening in the UK.
No, of course not.
This is happening all over the world.
This is this theme that we've explored before.
Absolutely.
But overnight, we might have some election results.
Yes.
To chew over. So that's going to be very interesting to see just how badly the Conservative Party does.
You're not supposed to do it with a smile, Neil.
No, well, I'm agnostic. I'm politically agnostic. I'm all over the place as well. So.
It'll certainly be interesting because we will actually at least get some data points, won't
we? Yeah, and we might actually start to get some movement in terms of leadership, in terms of a general election,
exactly.
Which will be the exciting thing. And we'll come back to this topic again.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much for joining us. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you, Neil.
Thanks for listening to Overleveraged. Do follow us wherever you get your podcasts, on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you happen to listen. Thanks for listening. Be the first to listen to Overleveraged by following the Overleveraged podcast directly on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. That way you can listen to our content as soon as it drops every Thursday. Thank you for listening. Remember, all opinions, news, research, analysis, prices, or other information is provided as general market commentary, not as investment advice, and all potential results discussed are not guaranteed to be achieved. The information may have been derived from publicly available sources, company reports, personal research, or surveys. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Trading carries risk of capital loss, and the service is available to professional clients only.